I'm an aficionado.
I'm a sneakerhead.
I'm a foodie.
Gamer.
I'm a gym rat.
There are many names for enthusiast.
A fashionista.
But there's only one way to become one. By going all in. The new Lexus IS is our obsession. Relentlessly engineered and designed to be the most responsive IS ever. It's what we call going all in on the sports sedan. The new 2021 Lexus IS. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Click the banner to discover more.
This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, this is Activity Quest, the podcast packed with things to do. I'm your host, Bex, and in today's episode, producer Adam is at Bristol Zoo. He's taking on their high ropes course and is chatting to zookeeper Olivia, as well as Lucy, about the history of the place and how you can help zoos near you. Then we're giving you a guide of what's happening across the UK, and we're leaving this world and heading to outer space. Sort of. We're finding out more about the National Space Centre and what they're getting up to at the moment. Finally, Anna Louise is back. She lives on a farm. It's the mini Motley Farm. And she's sharing with us what she's been up to this week. So every week on Activity Quest, we get out and about. We find out what is happening near you. And I mean other people. Presenters do that. Now, first up, I'm very jealous of this one. Our producer Adam went to Bristol Zoo to have a go on their high ropes course, Zootopia. And he met some animals as well. Pretty cool, right? So he's just got down from the course and he's checking in with the instructor, Rod.
Zootopia is a unique aerial adventure course which allows you to move around some trees overseeing different animals like African lovebirds. You can swing adjacent to gibbons. And you can even wave at the gorillas on Gorilla Island as you come towards the final element, which is a long zip wire called Flying Dragon.
And all of the obstacles on the course are designed to be things that, first of all, challenge you, but also mimic animal behaviour. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we had a kind of a brainstorm with all the instructors, and we were looking at different variations of names and how to design elements so you could move as if you were that animal in some sort of way. So you've got capybara crossing, gibbon swing, meerkat meander, flying dragon, which you mentioned before, baboon crossing, and the list goes on. So you've got 17 different elements, and each element is designed in a different way, and it's got its own challenges. Some are really easy, some are really difficult, and you can make it as easy as difficult as you want, dependent on how you traverse those elements.
Now, don't worry, you are wearing a harness when you do Zootopia. You are clipped in at the start by your instructor on what is called an auto belay system. So you are not clipping yourself on and off. You're clipped on, and then only your instructor can take you off at the very end of the course, which is probably a good thing, because around halfway through, I got a little too confident and fell off.
Zootopia at Bristol Zoo is very much a beginner's course, and it's designed mainly for little ones, 5 years old and upwards. But the little ones in general don't need help, and they go around all on their own. And the minimum height level, for example, is 1.1. If anyone needs one-to-one support, that's always available. What we'd normally suggest, if you need support and you're nervous and it's your first time, 100% book early in the morning as well. And then whether you take 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 90 minutes, it's completely up to you. So you'll get the physical support and encouragement of an instructor on a one-on-one basis the whole way round. If you've had enough, we can lower you down on a bit of fairy cord to the ground so you don't have to complete it. If you want to break a world record, you can try and break a world record, which is 1 minute 27. But that was admittedly broken by one of our instructors, who is a cage fighter and a stuntman and rides horses bareback. So you have to sort of have that sort of experience.
Definitely not me then. Although I did do it in 6 minutes, which Rod told me was still pretty speedy. I'm just on my way now to find Olivia, who I've been told is feeding some tamarin monkeys.
Kaz, it's not that scary. What's this?
I'm a mammal keeper, so that means I look after anything warm and fuzzy here at the zoo. So anything from small primates to our big hippo.
And if somebody wants to become you, Olivia, if somebody wants to become a zookeeper, what was your route here? How did you go about it?
Well, I've always loved animals. I've always wanted to work with animals. I had no other thing in mind when I was at school. The biggest thing, if you want to work with animals, is to try and get as much experience with them as you can. So lots of voluntary experience. So I volunteered with our RSPCA, and I also volunteered at another few zoos around the country before I finally got my job here at Bristol Zoo.
And one of the key ways that people can get interested about animals and learn more about their habitats and our planet is by actually coming to a zoo.
Yes, zoos are really important when it comes to education around animals and learning around them. Where else can you see gorillas and pygmy hippos without going all the way over to Africa? So it's kind of wildlife on your doorstep, really. It's nice to be able to come and see them face to face and smell them and hear them. Some of the smells are not so great, like the hippo, for example. But yeah, they're so important, especially for conservation and looking after animals out in the wild. So when you come to a zoo, some of the money that you pay to come to the zoo will go out to support not only the conservation projects that we work with, but also the breeding programs here in the zoo and all sorts of things like that.
As a duck wanders in between us right now, Olivia, talk to us about some of the ways you've been keeping some of the animals cool during the recent hot weather. So am I right in thinking vegetable ice lollies are a thing?
They are indeed. So vegetable ice lollies, we'll use herbal teas sometimes, fruit teas, even blood for some of the carnivores. So things like the lions might get a frozen bloodsicle. We also like to give them paddling pools. So all sorts of things for the animals when it's hot. We've got some creatures like the meerkats that come from sub-Saharan Africa. So they're really used to the hot weather. So they're absolutely fine.
And half term is around the corner. If people pop down this Halloween, Halloween's coming up, you mentioned blood icicles, do they also have kind of pumpkins? Do they carve jack-o'-lanterns together or go trick-or-treating?
Well, we certainly will carve jack-o'-lanterns for the animals, so that's something that we'd like to give them this time of year. It's called enrichment, so we'll give them hollowed out pumpkins and put things inside of it. So for things like the squirrel monkeys, we might give them pumpkins full of mealworms that they've then got to put their little hands through the holes in the pumpkins to find the worms. And enrichment's a really important way in which we support the animals' welfare in the zoo, so it's just something to keep them nice and busy and occupied and give them a bit of fun.
There is loads to see and do here at Bristol Zoo. I have just seen a baby kangaroo called Joey. That's a new arrival here at Bristol Zoo. I've also seen a very special red panda. And there is also, in the gorilla enclosure, the biggest gorilla you have ever seen. Huge, muscly. And the interesting thing about the gorilla enclosure is that the ceiling is made of glass. In fact, the ceiling is part of their enclosure, so they can actually go in and above you as you're in it, which sounds pretty frightening to me.
Bristol Zoo has been a really integral part of the city for so many years. It's been a really important part of the community, and we've welcomed generations of visitors who will have fond memories of visiting the zoo in the days of Alfred the Gorilla in the 30s and 40s, and Christina the Elephant, Wendy the Elephant. So people have really quite special memories of visiting, and that carries on today. People bring their children, their grandchildren, and those memories carry on today as people come and visit the zoo and make new memories. It's a really special place.
Bristol Zoo, October half term. Come down, visit. It's fantastic. Lucy, if people are going to come, what do they need to do? How do they get their tickets?
So go to the Bristol Zoo website. You can find out all about what you need to do before you come. You need to essential pre-booking of tickets in advance by a timed slot. Also, don't forget your face covering for when you're coming through the shop. Really, though, we want people to have a great time, a safe and fun time. And this is a really great place to get outside, get in the fresh air amongst the animals and have a wonderful time.
Amongst the animals as a lion roars in the background.
I am so jealous. BristolZoo.org.uk is the place to go to book your tickets to the zoo and also to Zootopia. You must book both individually and in advance. And remember, whatever you do and wherever you do it, we want to hear about it. One of the ways you can do that is by leaving a 5-star review, so we definitely see it down in the comments and review section. You can also get in touch at funkidslive.com/activityquest. Send us your thoughts as a video or as an audio clip, and you can upload pictures as well so we can see what you've been up to and maybe use all of them in future episodes.
Now, we love animals so much that in this episode, we're recommending loads of places to go and see and support them. Over to George.
Now, cast your mind back a few episodes and you might remember Dan visiting ZSL London Zoo. Well, they are now open. There are three routes around the zoo to take, from quick routes if you're just stopping for an afternoon to longer routes if you're spending the whole day there. ZSL.org is the place to book your tickets and find out what's going on. Also towards Reading is Beale Wildlife Park. They're open daily from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with last admission at 4 on a first-come, first-served basis because you cannot book online, so get there early. You can see donkeys, alpacas, owls and loads more. And your entry even includes a free ride on their train, which runs through the grounds. BealePark.org.uk, that's B-E-A-L-E park.org. .uk is the place to go to find out more. And finally, Twycross Zoo in Leicestershire is also open. Twycross has the largest collection of monkeys and apes in the Western world. That's why they call themselves the World Primate Centre. Unlike Beale Park, you can book online, but you are totally unable to buy tickets at the zoo itself. You must book before, and the place to do that is twycrosszoo.org.
Thanks, George. Remember, the rules on what we can and can't do are changing every week, and they do vary depending on where you are in the UK. So check before you travel, book in advance where you can, and remember to always follow the local guidance. Okay, now from this world to another world, we're going to go to outer space. The National Space Centre is in Leicester, and they're doing a load of cool stuff at the moment, including themed Fridays and special morning sessions. Dan's finding out more.
You're listening to Activity Quest. Now, the National Space Centre are dedicating an entire day to letting you know all of the mysteries lurking out there in the universe. To tell us more, Sophie Allen is the Head of Learning and Teaching at the National Space Academy, and she's here to tell us more. Hey, Sophie.
Hi, Dan. How's it going?
Yeah, really well. Thank you for joining us. Now, these are the Sunrise Sessions. Just tell us a little bit more about what's involved when we go to a sunrise session. What are a few things that we can check out?
Yeah, so the sunrise sessions are our specialist sessions that we're going to be running from Fridays that are not in half term, so term time Fridays. And it's a specialised morning session from 10 to 11 o'clock, which is designed specifically for children who have autism spectrum conditions, anxiety disorders, special educational needs, etc. So the kind of kids that would benefit from a quieter, relaxed session. And we've made a lot of alterations to how the Space Centre is. So there'll be very few people. Families will have the chance to explore with far fewer people around than normal, even though we're already operating on a reduced capacity to, you know, for COVID safety and things like that. There'll be accessible, safe sessions that are hosted by members of our education team. We'll have the lights up in the galleries, so there won't be any dark spaces. And we've tweaked our interactive so that there, you know, won't be any, you know, scary or sudden audio effects that they would, you know, potentially get a little bit concerned by. So our Friday term time sessions in the morning are specifically designed to really open up our galleries and our team and give these young people the opportunity to explore at their own pace effectively.
Tell us more about the sessions that are running by the education team there. What are they focused on? What different ones are there?
So there'll be a variety of different sessions that we'll be tying in with our theme of the day. So I'll talk a little bit about our sci-fi theming in a minute, but it could be anything from the opportunity to come up and have a look at meteorites and space rocks and handle things, to demonstrations of, you know, how we get into space or what life is like as an astronaut. You know, they'll generally be interactive, but they'll be very carefully planned to take into consideration, you know, the special needs of the kids that are there on the day. A lot of variety.
A lot of variety. And you've got sci-fry, which is a fantastic name. These are different activities that are happening every Friday. What activities are there for sci-fry?
Yes, so because the Space Centre is currently open to the public on Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays, We wanted to really make a big deal about Fridays, particularly to the kind of audiences who in the past have been really keen to visit to the centre, visit the centre without having huge school groups around them. So every Friday, we will have a different themed day. And that could be anything from last week's, which was grossology. So looking at all of the gross and interesting side effects of being in space, to World Science Week, to Tim Peak, to the International Space Station. Science fiction, etc. And so we theme the day and put additional content on in addition to our normal shows and our planetarium shows that would be available on a Saturday and a Sunday. So you'll have the opportunity to see some items from the vaults. So you can join our discovery team to look at some of the artifacts that are not normally on display, getting up close and personal with space things. There'll be opportunities to look at things like meteorites underneath the microscope. And find out more about how they're formed. We'll have themed live science shows that will be going on in our live space area that tie in with those themes. And of course, as with any normal visit, you'll get the opportunity to go and see one of our award-winning planetarium shows as well. In addition to that, on every Friday, we're running something called the 250 treat. So because of our reduced capacity, we're trying to encourage people to, you know, book in advance and make sure that they're guaranteeing themselves a spot. And if you are the 250th ticket sold each Friday, you'll get a special gift on your arrival. So that includes things like maybe lunch on the day, a goodie bag from our shop, or maybe even an annual pass that you can give out to your family and friends. So we're really trying to make Fridays special with our special session in the morning, our quieter sessions, and then our themed sessions during the day.
Now, it runs in the morning, 10 till 11 each Friday.
Correct, yes.
Now, that's an hour. There's a lot to cram in. What do you suggest that I start with if I go? What is the best thing that's going on at the National Space Centre?
Oh, well, in terms of what you want to make sure you get a chance to see, I mean, you've got to mention the Rocket Tower. Having the opportunity to see and ride the glass lifts up to the top of the Rocket Tower, or even take the stairs and have some views of Leicester, but see our two real rockets in the Rocket Tower is a massive plus for, I think, all of our visitors. We also have interactives that you can do. So we have things like an interactive weather forecast that you can do. So you can actually try your hand at being a weather forecaster, standing in front of a green screen and doing all of that. And we also have a huge amount of artifacts on display. So we have meteorites, we have bits of things that have been up into space, and each individual gallery is themed around a different theme. So in Interspace, you can come and see our collection of spacesuits, all the various different spacesuits that have been used by different agencies. If you're going into the universe, then you can walk around and see, you know, parts of telescopes that have been launched to help us understand our universe better, along with amazing interactive activities with it. But in terms of things that you absolutely have to see, you definitely want a planetarium show, you definitely want to see our Rocket Tower, and if you can catch one, you really do want to catch one of our interactive sessions with our education team.
Yeah, I can't recommend highly enough becoming a weather presenter. Absolutely amazing, really is fantastic. Now listen, this is something to do if you want an activity, you can come from far and wide, but if you are in the Midlands, it is well worth going there for a Friday, if that's the way that you would like to take in the Space Centre. Listen, Sophie, thank you so much for joining us. What do we need to do to book in advance?
So if you go to our website, spacecentre.co.uk, all of the information for booking is going to be on that website, and you'll be able to put everything through then, and we absolutely do recommend booking in advance due to our limited capacity.
Nice. Stay safe. Wash your hands while you're there as well. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, Dan. Okay, it's time to go down to the farm with Anna Louise. Get your wellies at the ready. She's got lots of rescue, rare breed and home-bred animals on the mini Motley farm. Everything from miniature horses to miniature sheep to miniature chickens to hatching chicks. So everything's quite small by the sound of things. Let's go down to the farm and see what's happening today.
I'm out doing my morning rounds, making sure that all the animals have got their grub, their breakfast, and are kept nice and cosy and warm with plenty of fresh hay. They've got to be prepared for all weathers at this time of year, with the strong winds and the harsh rain. We make sure they're all stocked up and ready. And it's always around October that I think back to something that happened that was really dramatic a few years ago. And we're always looking out for predators, whether that be foxes, whether that be weasels, whether that be herons after the fish in our wildlife pond, or stoats. And it was a few years ago now that a stoat came to try and eat all the animals at the sanctuary. Now, these little guys are fierce, they're ferocious and fast, and they love chickens. So we saw one out and about, scuttling amongst the bushes, and it was stalking our chickens and our chicks. So we had to act fast. We made sure we put on blaring radios so that the talking would fool the stoats into thinking that there were plenty of humans around to chase them away. We also set up an advanced camera security system, and we love doing this to protect the animals and the pets and the livestock. We set up some secret cameras, and I'm walking over there now. I'm just ducking under the apple tree, under the low hanging branches. I'm squishing through the fallen apples on the floor to an old dilapidated shed. Now, this was once our chicken shed. And we managed to string up some cameras into the tops of the apple trees and into the roof of the shed so that we could monitor the comings and goings and see what predators were stalking the shed. And it gave us a bird's eye view of what was happening, so we could see the chickens safe and cosy roosting at night. We could also see the outside, and we could see what was looming in the bushes and trying to get in. And having this security camera system meant that we could watch it, because the wires ran along the grass, through the hedges, over the bridges, across the stream and into our house, so that we could watch all the action from the comfort of our sofa. We could watch it on our telly. So at night, we would always put our camera system on. We'd make sure we'd tune in on our TV, and we'd make sure that everything was quiet and everything was safe, and that there was no movement around the shed. We could even hear our chickens snoring, believe it or not. They're really loud. But it was one night where we started to hear a scuttling and a snuffling, and we turned it up louder on the TV to hear what that might be. We could hear some moving. We could see some movement in the shadows around the shed, and we could hear a sort of grunting sort of noise. This was bigger than a stoat. This was bigger than a fox even, and this was certainly not a heron. It was around the time, I don't know if you'll remember, but there were reports on TV and in the newspapers and online that a Kent panther was on the loose. A big cat panther had been killing deer at some of the National Trust properties in the southeast. And when we saw this big, black, four-legged creature stalking the shed, prowling along, making this sort of snuffling noise, grunting noise, we thought, that's it. We've captured the Kent panther. We can see it on our security cameras. We grabbed our torches. We jumped into our welly boots, we threw on our big heavy coats, and we grabbed our big brooms to scare off the panther, and we ran out to protect our chickens. We all jumped into action within seconds, and by the time we raced up to the chicken shed, full of adrenaline, ready to fight off the panther and save our livestock, we got there, we put down our brooms, and we sighed a deep sigh of relief. Because it wasn't the Kent panther, it wasn't the stoat, or the fox, or the heron. It was our dog, our rescue dog Ella, our black Labrador, that had snuck out from her evening snooze on the sofa to stretch her legs. And she'd gone to sniff out the security system to see what was happening and what was new in the garden, wondering what on earth was going on. And she looked up at us as if to say, what's all the fuss about? There's nothing happening here. And we all went back inside with Ella in tow. The chickens were still snoozing, still snoring in fact. They hadn't even noticed the commotion, but they were safe. And so were we from the Kent panther.
And that's all we've got time for this week. Whatever you do, tell us all about it. Go to funkidslive.com/activityquest, mostly because we want you to tell us all about it so we can tell other people on this podcast, but partly because I'm just very nosy, to be honest. I just want to know what you've been up to. Remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you're listening to this. I've been Bex. This has been a podcast from the UK's children's radio station, Fun Kids. And you can listen to me on your DAB digital radio and online and on the free Fun Kids mobile app, plus on your smart speaker every weekday at 4 p.m. I'll see you there, right? Yeah, I thought so. Bye! So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.